Good morning. Welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad to have you join us today. If this is your first time, please take the time to fill our Connect card by scanning the QR code on the screen below, and one of our staff will reach out to you to personally welcome you to our church. The following are a couple announcements that we have for you. First, a reminder that we will be having communion today, so make sure to have your communion elements ready so we can partake in it together. Also, your 2021 tax receipts have been sent out through email in mid-February, so please check your inbox and also check your spam box in case the email has not been received. And if you have requested a hard copy of your tax receipt, it has also been sent out in mid-February. And in case you have any questions, please contact Winnie Fong, our church administrator, through email or phone. So as we begin to prepare our hearts for worship, let me read from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king is his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Brothers and sisters, let us rise together to worship our holy God.
spoke the light into darkness, shaking the silence of space. Set everything into motion to bring out your praise. Creation is telling a story, unveiling the depths of your love. Each detail revealing the wonder of all that you've done.
Church, let's keep standing and pray together. Dear God, you are Lord God Almighty. You are worthy of our song. You are worthy of our praise. In spite of Delta, in spite of Omicron, we declare that you are the Alpha, you are the Omega. Your faithfulness never ends. Your steadfast love never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, you may be seated. Just imagine with me for a second. Suppose you were an employee in the 1970s, maybe your father's generation, a time when there was no cell phone, no internet, no computer, no laptop. When you walk out of the office at exactly 5 p.m. on a beautiful Friday afternoon, when you say goodbye to your co-workers, you're also saying goodbye to your work for the weekend. There's no need, and actually there's no way you can bring your work home at the time, right? It was a time there was no cell phone, no laptop, no computer, no internet. You say to yourself, thank God it's Friday. Those were the good old days, and those were the old normal. But what about now, back to 2022? With the coming of digital technology, our work habits have changed quite a lot, and our Friday have also been changed quite a lot too. If you are fortunate, if getting off from work really means getting off, then you are among those few who can still claim, thank God it's Friday. But for too many, just too many of us, Friday blues, yes, I mean Friday blues, not Monday blues, might be the new normal. Walking out of the office on any Friday afternoon does not mean that work is done. Your home or maybe your neighborhood coffee shop has become your second office, and work knows no end over the weekend. Under this new normal, our thinking about work, about rest, have indeed changed quite a lot. Under this new normal, work, rest, and even vacation seems to have been redefined. So let's take a look at some examples of this new normal. First example, work is endless, and rest become a bonus. Work is like running on a hamster wheel. You only get a break when your work is finally done. If your work is not done, you simply cannot rest. Talking about 9 to 5 as your normal working hours, forget about it. When your work is not done, you just keep on going. The second new normal about work is about vacation. Vacation is the reward of hard work. Just think with me together. Think about the pre-COVID days, which seems so long ago, right? When you can actually get a real vacation. After a big project with many hours of overtime, you can finally enjoy an annual vacation, which your spouse and your children has been waiting for too long. Before your vacation, you have to make extra effort to ensure that there's no time conflict among your team with all the other ongoing projects. You need to make sure no ball is dropped in your team while you were away. And finally, you are boarding your Air Canada flight to Orlando. Just seems so foreign at this moment, right? Finally, this new world is just a few hours away, and finally the vacation begins. However, in your mind, just think about, you know, way back. You were still thinking about all the unfinished projects, all the deals which are not closed, all the work deadline which is still around your mind. Vacation, yeah, you may say you are taking a vacation, but are you really resting? The third new normal about work is about work from home burnout. Work from home burnout. I'm sure we're all too familiar about this. For more than 2 years, many of us had to make that sudden shift to remote work in the COVID pandemic. At the beginning, I'm sure we were all celebrating, right? No commute, more flexibility, and you can even having yoga pants at your desk while you're working from home. What could be better? But slowly, we might find ourselves feeling like we need to work all the time to maintain our productivity. We struggle to create healthy boundaries. And sometimes afternoon has been blended with evenings and weekend has been blended with weekdays. So we are all messed up and busy all the time. And eventually we got burned out while we were working from home. Welcome again to this new work normal. This new normal of work, rest, and vacation. While we are still so getting used to this new normal, let's just pause for a second and ask ourselves, is it really normal for work to be endless? Is it really normal for rest to be just a bonus? Should vacation simply be a reward of hard work? We've all been trained to work hard, I'm sure. We've all been trained to be productive. We've all been trained to be busy since kindergarten, probably. And we thought we know how to take a break, how to rest, how to relax, right? But perhaps we have climbed the wrong ladder and we end up not receiving the real rest that we need. So, what is real rest? Does rest simply mean doing nothing, or rest means doing less? For the past 2 weeks, we have been exploring different aspects about taking a break and making room, about making room for God and then eternity, and about making room for God's will. And for this morning, let's explore how we can make room for rest, especially at an age of high tech and high speed. And besides working hard and being faithful, what does the Bible actually teach us about taking a break and rest? In the story of Exodus, God liberated the Israelites from the bondage of the Egyptians. And among the many teachings about following the Lord, God called the people to develop a new rhythm of rest and work in their daily life. In the fourth commandment, God called the people to observe the Sabbath. In the original Hebrew language, Sabbath means to cease, to end, and to rest. To cease, to end, and to rest. The command to observe the Sabbath actually appears not just once, but twice in the Pentateuch. First in Exodus 20, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's take a look at each of them. In Exodus chapter 20, the Lord proclaimed, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7 day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the 7 day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." In Exodus 20, God reminded the people that there is a special rhythm of work and rest in life. 6 days you shall do all your work, but on the 7 day, you shall not do any work. 6 days, all the work. 7 days, no work. I'm sure it's not the first time you hear about that, but let's listen to this more carefully. This passage also reminds us that this is the pattern of God in the creation story. After God took 6 days to make heaven and earth, He rested on the 7 day. So now, God is inviting His people to be like Him, to build up a new rhythm of work and rest in their daily life. 6 days you shall do all the works, but on the 7 day you shall not do any work. For the Israelites, it is actually a new normal. Do you know why? It is because they have been serving as slaves under the Egyptians for generations and generations. Let's take a look at the other passage about Sabbath from Deuteronomy chapter 5. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Instead of simply repeating the instruction of Exodus, this passage provides another important reason for the Israelites to observe the Sabbath. In 5:15 of Deuteronomy, the Lord reminded his people that they should remember that they were slaves in Egypt, and God brought them out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Why is Sabbath such an important message to the Israelites? It is because for the people who were raising up in slavery in Egypt, rest was indeed a foreign concept. In Egypt, rest is luxury. Rest is for other people, for Pharaoh, for example. At Egypt, slaves don't rest. At Egypt, slaves cannot rest. At Egypt, slaves have no room to rest. For slave, work, hard work is everything. And that's what the life of slavery was like in Egypt. All work, no rest. But now, the old has gone. God's people have a new identity. As God's redeemed people, they are no longer in Egypt anymore. They are not Pharaoh's slave anymore. There's no need to revive what God has already removed. There's no need to gather what God has smashed and scattered. And there's no need to place themselves in the yoke that God has already taken away. The Sabbath reminds God's people that God calls us to live in a reality of freedom, a freedom that He has already won for us. In God's redemption plan for His people, rest is not a reward you can earn after you finish all the work. Rest is not a bonus for work well done. We don't rest just because the work is done. Rest is a gift. Rest is a gift, a divine gift. Rest is a part of the rhythm designed by God. Even though work seems to never end, it's okay, God said. God reminds us, 6 days you shall do all your work. On the seventh day, you simply rest. And just imagine, if you are one of the Israelites, throughout all your life in Egypt, you have been working like a slave, 7 days a week. But suddenly, you learn about this teaching of Sabbath. You discover a totally new rhythm of work and rest. 6 days, do all the work. On the 7 days, take a break. How would you feel if you were one of the Israelites? And if I am one of the Israelites, my first feeling would be, wow, that's great. That's a good news, right? But on a second thought, after all the years that you have been working 7 days a week in Egypt, you may have other questions coming up. Doing all my work in just 6 days? Is it possible? Is it really possible? And what if I can't finish my work at the end of the 6 day? What should I do? Or if you are a keener, no work on the 7 days, what am I supposed to do on that day? Doing nothing? How to do this? You know, I don't know how to do nothing, right? Let's take a look at one more passage from Exodus chapter 16, the story of manna in Exodus 16, and see how the Israelites learn about the Sabbath in their wilderness journey. This madness story happened in the second month of the Exodus journey. The people were grumbling, actually they were grumbling in the wilderness for one simple reason, about food. In Exodus 16, verse 3, the Israelite told Moses, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots," just imagine all the good food there, "and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And instead of going out and gather the manna 7 days a week," actually, there was a twist. In verse 5, it said, "On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." It will be twice as much as they gather daily. So there was a twist here. And in the latter part of Exodus 16, we see how the manna story was developed. On the sixth day, something special happened. Instead of one omer, which is the unit of the food, the people gathered twice as much bread, a double portion on this sixth day. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, Moses said to them, "Tomorrow," which is the seventh day, "is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they lay it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. It's a miracle. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. There will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people, they try to went out to gather, but they found none." In this manna story, we notice again the rhythm of work and rest, which is given by God. In the original commandment, God told the people, 6 days you shall do all the work, on the seventh day you shall not do any work. In this story of manna, God told the people, 6 days you shall gather the manna. On the sixth day, they will gather twice as much bread, and they will do all the extra cooking, baking, and the boiling work. But on the seventh day, there will be no manna, and the people are called to rest on the seventh day. If I'm one of the Israelites, I would be totally amazed. Wow, 5 days, we have regular dose of manna. Day six, we have double dose. And then day seven, it's no manna. This double dose of manna on the 6 days actually reflect God is really a caring God. There's no need to worry, for He is the one who actually provides. So after all these stories about rest, work, manna, and bread, so what can we learn from the teaching of Sabbath? This new rhythm of work and rest given by God to the Israelites. Sabbath rest, actually, it's not just a mandate we try to obey. Sabbath is a special gift from God for us to embrace. Sabbath rest is not just a mandate we try hard to obey. It is a special gift from God for us to embrace. Sabbath is a special gift from God. It reminds us that God will provide even when the work is not done. If we only stop when we are finished with all the work, we will never stop because our work is never completely done. Sabbath is the rest we take not in the end, but in the middle of all our ongoing work, without apology, without guilt, and for no better reason than God told us that we could. Sabbath is turning over to God all those things that are otherwise tempted to hold tight in our own feet. Sabbath means letting go. Sabbath means trust. Letting go of all those parts of our identity and our ability in which we are constantly tempted to find our security. Sabbath is to discover afresh about who we are. We are His children. We are His children, and He is our good Father. He's our provider. He's our defender. He is our shield. Sabbath is just like a stop sign. It creates room for us to receive this real rest. Sabbath rest is not just a mandate. We try very hard to obey. Sabbath rest is a special gift from God for you and I to embrace. So, in practical terms, how shall we make room for rest? Sabbath calls us to cultivate a rhythm of rest. And in order to cultivate a rhythm of rest, we need to be as intentional as we can. Let me just suggest two directions about how we can build such a rhythm of rest. First, we learn to unplug and then to connect. Unplug. Needless to say, our generation has a much harder time to learn how to receive real rest because of the internet. We are all afraid of FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. The uneasy feeling about missing out what our peers are doing or what they are doing or where they are. We check social media over and over and over again so we don't feel left out. When we spend all the time staring in envy in Facebook or Instagram, it's actually our life that we are missing out on. So instead of FOMO, let's try the joy of missing out, JOMO. When we are unplugged from social media, we're enjoying what we are doing in the here and now, instead of being on social media or seeing what everyone else is doing. I still remember a few summers ago, our family was on a camping trip west of Seattle with five other families. It was actually our really first official camping trip in the family. Thank God that there was water supply, and thank God on that particular campsite, we can even have electricity on our campsite. So like some Asian family do, guess what we brought to the campsite? We brought Instant Pot, we brought electric heater, we brought even air mattresses. Can you imagine what we did in the camping trip? And there was, but one thing was missing in the campsite. Guess what? Digital coverage. So from Tuesday to Friday, those 4 days, we have an unexpected media fast. No text messages, no Facebook, no Instagram, not even email. In the beginning, I was honestly a little bit anxious. I am missing out some important email from our church or from other friends? What am I missing out some important update on Facebook or Instagram? Then later I told myself, it doesn't really matter. I am on a family trip, a camping trip. Why am I bothered? So let's forget about the fear of missing out, but enjoy this, the joy of missing out. The joy of missing out so that you can really connect. Well, I understand that if we don't live on campsite all the time, in Vancouver particularly, this is much harder to do this. to be unplugged, right? Even if you are not at home, you can go to anywhere. You will receive Shaw Open now. They have Shaw Go or Telus or other Wi-Fi hotspot. You can help you to be connected, right? But let's be intentional about our screen time. Let's be intentional about cultivating a habit of unplug. I believe the first place you can start is to know yourself well enough. Think about your day. When are you most likely to pull out your phone and start scrolling? Where? And then ask why. Ask yourself, what is driving you to spend so much time on social media? My suggestion, how we can start, is to think about your first step of unplugging and to start with the first 15 minutes of your day. The first 15 minutes of your day. The moment you wake up, instead of dashing to your phone and check all the updates in the social media or the email or Instagram, let's spare 15 minutes after you wake up. It sounds easy, but let's really try it. I'm sure it will make a big difference at the beginning of each day. And if you are ready, or if you already find it too easy, I will have another suggestion. You can take one more step further. How about blocking 90 minutes on Saturday? Now is after your online worship, or maybe on a Sunday, as a time of unplugging. For sure, that takes more effort and more determination. But by unplugging, it will become your starting point to build up a healthy rhythm of rest and work. Are you ready to unplug? First, the 15 minutes of each day, and then move on to 90 minutes over the weekend. But you may say, after unplugging, what do I actually do while I'm resting? My answer would be doing something that really replenishes you. Sabbath is a time for you to celebrate and enjoy what God has already done in your life. Sabbath is a time to connect with yourself, to connect with people, and most importantly, to connect with the loving God. When you rest, let me encourage you to connect first with yourself through journaling. And instead of using your smartphone to journal, I would encourage you to purchase a good notebook and a good pen to start journaling. As you journal, you will have space to reflect, as well as the opportunity to regain perspective in your life. However, the actual writing is only part of the experience. During moments of uncertainties, I would go back and reread some of my previous journals. And at many times, I found God would bring comfort and healing as I reread my previous journals. And let me share with you an experience. When I first arrived in Vancouver back in 2014, almost 8 years ago, my life was at a crossroad, lots of uncertainty, lots of unknown. At the end of a church leadership retreat at KEC, I have a chance to quiet down and reflect on where I am, on where I'm heading to. And slowly and clearly, I received a comforting message from God. And let me share with you what I wrote down in my journal line by line. God told me, I was with you in 1984 when you first came to Canada. I was only grade 11. I was with you in 1986 when you entered university as Western Ontario. I was with you in 1989 when you met Shirley, who is now my wife. I was with you at Markham Stouffville Hospital when Caleb was born, my first son. I was with you at the same maternity ward when Andrea and Chloe were born. And now, May 2014, I am still with you at this uncharted journey. So cling to me, for I will be with you and your family every step of your new chapter in Vancouver. Through journaling, we can make room to remember how God has been walking with us and our family in some toughest time in life. And through remember His work in our life, we will remember and also receive new courage to face the current situation. And besides connecting with ourselves, rest can also help us to make room to connect with God. When you rest, it is definitely a special time to connect with our loving Father. Take a slow and meditative walk, or you may choose to run. I know a friend who likes running. He told me that running is one of his best moments to get connected with God. And he told me sometimes God would even touch his emotions while he runs. And more than once, he would burst into tears while he runs. Wow, I should try that too. When we rest, let's take time and discover one thing, that we are beloved children of God, of this loving God. We are deeply loved by God. This is our source of identity. This is where we belong. Sabbath rest. It's not just a mandate. We try very hard to obey. Sabbath rest is a special gift from God for you and I to embrace. At the end of the sermon, I would like to lead you for a short prayer exercise. First, I would like all of us to stand up. You know, even though you are just by yourself in your room with your screen, let's stand. And also put your phone down if you still have your phone, you know, put it down. Now, your hands are free, right? Let's close our eyes and open our hands. Take a deep breath or a few deep breaths. In the next moment, I will be guiding you for a very simple prayer based on Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God, God declare. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know Be still Be Lord, we thank you. We thank you for blessing us with the gift of rest. Lord, take away our driftiness, take away our hurriedness, and teach us to embrace and enjoy this gift from you, this gift of rest. With open hands, with open hearts, Lord, help us to find rest in you and you alone. In quietness and trust, Lord.
help us to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's continue to stand and praise God together.
Please be seated. Now let's celebrate the communion together at the church. This communion is open to all who have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, at the night of his betrayal, he took the bread, he blessed it, and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Church, let's partake the bread and the cup together. Church, let me invite you to stand for the benediction. Today's benediction is taken from the blessing from the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we conclude our worship, let me encourage you to participate and support the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. So go in peace, church, and enjoy and have a restful weekend and have a blessed week.